Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth, on this sensational, spectacular Sunday.
Oh, you go, buddy.
You know, yesterday we started talking about seven things we can't do to God.
Mm-hmm.
And thank all of you who emailed and texted about yesterday's call. Blessed us to hear that. It blessed you. First, a brief review. Number one, you cannot hide from God. If you think you can hide from God, just read again about Adam and Eve and remember them. When God asked, "Where art thou?" in Genesis 3:9, it was a rhetorical question. The verse says, "And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Truthfully, God is asking us the same question today. Where are we in fulfilling our calling? Where are we in our service as a kingdom builder? Where are we in the effectiveness of our stewardship and what God's entrusted us? What are we doing? Where are we in doing what God wants us to do?
There you go. Number two, you cannot run from God. If we're trying to run away from maybe God's calling or direction he's trying to direct us in our lives, we need to ask Jonah if that's possible to run from God. Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord as if miles made a difference. Jonah should have known better because once again, I don't know. I hate to say it, but sin causes stupid to come over us.
It's true. Number three, you cannot steal from God. In Acts 5, verses 1 through 11, Acts 5, 1 through 11, we read the story of Ananias and his wife Sapphira, who stole from God. And they paid the ultimate price because of their three sinful attitudes. First, they coveted the praise that Barnabas had received for his act of generosity. Second, Ananias and Sapphira were deceitful. They wanted everyone to think that they'd given the full purchase price of their property when in fact they did not. And third, there was obviously a spirit of greed on Ananias and Sapphira. One sin leads to another sin and another. Bottom line, you can't steal from God.
Number four, you cannot trick God. Simon the sorcerer was a trickster, a first century con man who wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit so he could perform signs and wonders and miracles. That story you can read for yourself in Acts 8, verses 8 through 24. Acts 8, verses 8 through 24. But Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, recognized the deception in Simon's life and how he tricked others into believing things that were as though, but they were not. Simon just wanted the Holy Spirit power to add to his repertoire of tricks. He did not know better. But if we want to experience signs, wonders, and miracles, it is the result of a personal knowledge of Jesus and obedience to his word, relationship.
That's right.
It's called.
That's it.
So let's pick up where we left off yesterday, honey.
Okay. Number five. You cannot lie to God. Numbers 32:23, King James. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. You know, there's a popular TV ad that says what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And it's an effort to lure people to, of course,
Sin City.
The premise is that whatever you do, you won't have to lie about it because nobody will ever find out about it. Now, that may be smart advertising, but it's also sinful. And you got to know that your sins will find you out. Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Genesis 4, 8 through 10 in the Classic Amplified Bible. And Cain said to his brother, "Let us go out to the field." When they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Cain discovered at great cost that you cannot lie to God. It just doesn't work. As a result of his lying to God, Cain became the first homeless man on planet Earth. Genesis 4:12, Classic Amplified Bible. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, in perpetual exile, a degraded outcast. According to thesaurus.com, the synonyms for lying include misrepresenting, misleading, misstating, shifting, fibbing, and falsifying. Proverbs 6:17 says God doesn't like a lying tongue. A half-truth is the same thing as a whole lie. But listen to this. If you mess up, get up and move on.
Number 6, you cannot betray God, and I might add, and get away with it. In Numbers 22, we read where Balak, the king of the Moabites, was concerned that the Israeli army was going to annihilate his people the way they did the Amorites. So the king sent messengers to Balaam, the prophet of God. And in Numbers 22, verse 6 in the New Living Translation, it says, please come and curse these people for me because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps I will be able to conquer them and drive them from the land. I know that blessings fall on any people you bless, and curses fall on people you curse. And in Numbers 22, verse 8 in the New Living Translation, Balaam said to the messengers, stay here overnight, Balaam said. In the morning, I will tell you whatever the Lord directs me to say. So the officials from Moab stayed there with Balaam. When Balaam asked God what he should do, there's no hesitation or equivocation in God's answer, and really, Balaam should have known it. In Numbers 22, verse 12 in the New Living Translation, it says, but God told Balaam, do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they have been blessed. So Balaam sent King Balak's messengers back home, but the king was terrified of Israel, so he sent another group of messengers with even more money. The thought of this money obviously moved Balaam, so that he told the messengers he would think about it and see if the Lord had changed his mind. Wow. I imagine Balaam wanted God to give him another answer because he's seeing dollar signs, you know, like the house on the lake, maybe, or the big screen TV, as some men would. LOL. Okay. Even though God had already told him no, it was obvious that the answer that Balaam wanted was not no. So he continued to ask as though he was going to receive another answer from the Lord. And guess what? Balaam, you know, I mean, wanted him to say something. God did say, okay, go to the men. But he wasn't happy with Balaam. And God told him to speak only what he told him to speak. So I'm sure that, you know, Balaam was already dreaming about the life, you know, styles of the rich and famous, honey. But anyway, God wasn't happy with Balaam, and truthfully, you can read about that in the end. He pursued the matter a second time, and he still said no. Literally, Balaam was actually betraying a divine directive from him. And in Numbers 22, we read that on three separate occasions, verses 23 through 27, the donkey on whose back Balaam was riding saved his life because his eyes were open, not the prophet's. The donkey's eyes were open to see the angel of the Lord with a sword ready to kill Balaam. Anyway, in all of that story, the point of it is this. If we betray God's direction to seek to manipulate him for our own selfish motives, judgment is coming. Because if you read a little later in Numbers, you find where Balaam met his reward quickly on earth.
Yes, he did. Number 7. You can't rob God. If I were to ask you, have you ever robbed anyone? I'm sure you'd say, never. The question, though, is, how will a man rob God? He does so in tithes and offerings, Malachi 3:8. Now that seems pretty straightforward to me. The word says that if we're not tithing, we're robbing God. If we're not giving offerings, we're robbing God.
Actually, we're robbing ourselves through the principles of God.
That's exactly right. I guess this is a good place for me to ask you a question. Each of us. Are you a consistent tither? Has there ever been a time when you didn't tithe or you stopped tithing for a short period of time? If a person, a robber, takes what doesn't belong to him even once in a while, does that make him any less of a thief? If the robber only steals what he, she wants or needs money for, does that make them any less a thief? If you ever watched a television program or movie about criminals, you know the first thing the defense attorney wants to know is if they have an alibi. The dictionary defines alibi as an excuse to avoid blame. The attorney will advise his or her client whether or not they have a good alibi, the kind that will stand up in court and get them off the hook. Do you have an alibi for not tithing or giving offerings? One that will stand up in the court of heaven? Will God accept it on judgment day? Is the word of God based on your view of the circumstances you're facing? Or is it based on what the word of God says? In our society, if a robber steals from others because he doesn't have a job, he may get the sympathy of the jury, but that will not make him any less of a thief or lessen his punishment. No, when thieves are caught, they're punished. Malachi 3:8, Classic Amplified. Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. But you say, in what way do we rob or defraud you? You have withheld your tithes and offerings. Not tithing or giving offerings for any period of time makes you a robber. In our society, if a person violates a local, state, or federal statute, they're guilty. It makes them a criminal. You know, years ago I heard, we heard, Dr. Morris Cirillo say that all truth is parallel in the natural and in the spirit. If we violate the laws and principles of God, then we are a spiritual criminal. The good news, the very good news, is that God forgives us of all our sins. And not only does he forgive them, he forgets them.
Hallelujah.
As well. Hallelujah. John 1:9, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And that means hallelujah and amen.
Amen.
So it's never too late. We can ask God to forgive.
Think on these seven things that
yes.
You can't do to God. And hopefully it'll provoke your thinking. And we want to provoke your thinking.
Yes.
To join us tonight at 6 p.m. for Sunday Night Live.
Amen.
And it's going to be a great teaching. It is a great teaching because it's written.
Yeah. Written and ready to go.
Yeah. So make sure you go to heraldherring.com,
right.
Click on the button that says Join Harold and Bev Sunday Night Live, and it'll bless you and it'll make you want to shout, and that's a really, really good thing. 6 p.m. Eastern, join us tonight for Sunday Night Live. Tonight's teaching is entitled Breakthrough Your Comfort Zone. Breakthrough Your Comfort Zone.
That's it. Exciting.
Till tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern or tomorrow morning and every morning at 8:30 Eastern. God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.